Fez, Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Floyd, I know you hate it when I use the word theory.
You've got a few theories now.
Okay, so I've got a theory surrounding Ndamukong Suh and the Jets. And if you're just joining us, the news so far is Ndamukong Suh is at home. This is according to Jordan Schultz at Yahoo. Ndamukong Suh is at home in Portland with his family evaluating his options. But the Jets have come in and made the biggest offer so far. Now, he hasn't visited the Jets. He has visited the Rams, the Saints, and the Titans. And so now add the Jets to the mix. So you've got four teams going for Ndamukong Suh. Are you ready for my theory, Floyd, on this Fireball Hot Take Friday, which is made for theories like this?
All right.
Okay. So my theory is, to your point about what if Ndamukong Suh went on all these visits, and then when it came to talking money, you know, he knew he would take a little bit of a haircut from his Miami and Detroit days, but he wanted to win. But then he finds out that the haircut that he's willing to take is a little bit less what they're offering than what he thought he was going to take. You know, if I take a haircut from $20 million and I say, okay, I'll take one down to $12 million, that's fine. Somebody offers me $7 million, now I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. I said I was going to take $12 million, not $7 million. So maybe this adding the Jets to the mix without actually visiting the Jets is almost like Ndamukong Suh's camp's way of saying, hey, John Robinson, give us more money. Make a better offer. Hey, who's the Rams GM? Les Snead. Hey, Les Snead, make a better offer. I wonder if they're doing that to the Titans, the Saints, and the Rams, and they're using the Jets as leverage in order to almost force the Titans, Saints, and Rams to pay Ndamukong Suh a little bit more money than they're offering now. What do you think?
You know, I think those things happen. They usually happen in privacy, though. Because when they mentioned the Raiders, that was the first thing I thought. Was, okay, I understand the Raiders have to sell tickets. They're on their way to Vegas. They need a name. They need somebody, and here's another guy. And then all of a sudden that was canceled. Now, was that canceled because their offer was so outrageously low that it wasn't even going to be a consideration? Mm-hmm. Or was that a name thrown out there to get the pot up a little bit? And then you're right. I think the same thing happens with the Jets. Now, when you're negotiating with an agent, they'll do that. You know, they'll say, well, you know what? I mean, we've been kind of holding the Jets off because if he had his druthers, he really wouldn't want to go to New York. But we're not getting the money where we need to get the money. And so he's going to have to take the trip to New York and just see where they are. But when you go public, you always run the risk that, you know, the Jets come back and go, whoa, whoa, you know, we're not talking to him. We're not his. And now you really are in a bind.
Well, and see, the thing is, too, there's no hiding of where this is coming from. Jordan Schultz, the guy with Yahoo, the one that's reporting this, is tweeting out, Ndamukong Suh tells me. So, I mean, Sue's telling him to put this stuff out there. And my guess is Ndamukong Suh wouldn't go on record saying the Jets are in the mix if the Jets didn't make the offer. I just wonder if Ndamukong Suh really wants no part of the Jets because they're lousy and New York stinks and it's cold and the people are rude and the media kills you. He really wants no part of New York. He just wants the other three teams to know that New York at least is in the bidding.
That very well could be.
If you heard that, if that came down the pipe, because I know how little you are on Twitter and but clearly something like this would get to you, right? Like someone would come in and say, hey, Floyd, this is the report, is that now the Jets are involved and they've offered a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
How would that affect you as GM?
Well, it depends on where I am right now. You know, if $10 million was the goal and maybe they were talking about $10 million the whole time, and I'm sitting at 9.5 or I'm at 10 or I'm at what, then it probably wouldn't affect me at all. Now, if I was at 3 and, you know, he's talking 10, then I would say, okay, well, we can come up a little bit, assuming you can. You know, we'll come up to 5 or we'll come up to 6 or whatever the number might be. If you thought, you know, you legitimately had a chance to sign him. Now, I wouldn't go any higher unless I was sure I had a really, really good chance to sign him, because all you're doing is you're just, you know, putting money in his pocket at the, I mean, even though you don't, you're always in competition with other teams. I mean, you're not going to purposely cost another team a bunch of money when you didn't have to.
man, I love the idea of Ndamukong Suh doing this and trying to play the Titans and the Titans not buying into it whatsoever. So I got my other theory, too, on the Titans that I want to get to here. And we'll have Corey Curtis on in a little bit. We'll run some of this by him as well. So this is my other theory that I thought about as I was driving to my undisclosed location where I'm doing the show from today. And it is that I'm just so glad that Dean Pease is the defensive coordinator of the Tennessee Titans. There is absolutely nothing right now that you could tell me that would make me not like Dean Pease. I love Dean Pease. I think he's a great coordinator. I think he's a great coach. His defenses with the Ravens were always good. They were always nasty. Even guys you had never heard of, you'd watch him play for the Ravens, and you're like, oh, God, that guy's good. And the Ravens had some crummy teams, but it was always Flacco's fault. It was never Dean's fault. And so here I am thinking about Malcolm Butler, who, quite frankly, I didn't feel like the Titans needed, or Ndamukong Suh, who, quite frankly, I don't really want. But there's something in me, Floyd, that says, well, Dean Pease coaching Ndamukong Suh will bring out the best in him. And Dean Pease, with a Dory Jackson, Logan Ryan, Malcolm Butler, and Kevin Byard, is going to have a great secondary. And for some reason, I just can't get over how I feel about Dean Pease being defensive coordinator of the Titans. I like Dean Pease more than I like the head coach. And I am starting to drink the Dean Kool-Aid. And again, as I was driving today, I was thinking into my head, I'm like, Jared, do you need to back it down a little bit on Dean Pease? Floyd, am I misguided, or am I onto something about how good this Dean Pease really is and how good the Titans defense can be with Dean Pease coaching them?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not sure how good the Titans defense can be until they fill a couple holes. But, I mean, Dean, there isn't any doubt but that Dean is an outstanding defensive coordinator. I had the honor of working with him for, I guess, 4 years, 3 years. And he really is good. He's had great success every place he's been. There's no doubt that they will play as good as they can play. Now, is that good enough? We'll have to wait and see. I think there's still a couple of pieces that need to be added, but he'll get the most out of them. And if he brings a guy like Sue in, he'll find a way to get Sue in with the program and get him in the middle of all of this, because he understands that a guy like that, you know, can have a dramatic effect on whatever it is you're trying to do.
I'm telling you, it feels like they're getting Dale Earnhardt Ferraris with Dean Pease getting Malcolm Butler. And if you give him Ndamukong Suh, and again, I don't even think Ndamukong Suh's that good because I think he takes plays off. But I think Dean will coach him because I'm a Dean Pease believer. The one thing I don't want to have happen, and I'm going to hate this if it does, is that 6 games into next year, I'm like, I can't stand this Dean Pease. That's what I'm hoping doesn't happen. I'm worried it might a little bit. But where I sit today, I'm a Dean Pease believer. And Ian, you can back me up on this. Remember before, and I love Dick LeBeau. But remember before the Patriots game in the playoffs when you said, well, who would you rather have defensive coordinator? I said Dean Pease. And I just think Dean Pease is going to coach him up. And I think the Titans are going to have a top five defense next year in the league if they sign Ndamukong Suh. Because, not because of Suh, not because of Butler, not because of the quote-unquote hole of losing Avery Williamson, but because of Dean Pease.
So you are a Dean Pease lover, is that right?
I think I love Dean Pease. I think I do.
Okay, can we keep this tape, please?
Absolutely.
Ian,
thank you.
And was I not, though, on the Dean Pease bandwagon before they hired Dean Pease?
So you've been on his bandwagon for a long time.
I don't know. I can't remember that exactly 100%. It's possible.
Oh,
I'll be honest with you. I can't remember. I think there was something about him when he left New England or something like that, but I don't know.
I think it was when I think Nick Cale was like visiting the show. Like, remember when Nick came in town before Nick got the job? Like, you know, they brought Nick in, I think, on an interview or something or whatever. And Nick was sitting in the studio with us.
I do remember.
And I remember
that.
Yes. And I remember, like, cause, you know, it's hard to talk about one football game for an entire week. I mean, we've talked about a hockey game for 3 segments, and we've already kind of moved on from the Toronto game the other night. And I remember saying, oh, no, I'm worried about Brady versus Dick LeBeau because the numbers are horrific. And you were like, well, name a defensive coordinator you'd rather have. And I was like, Dean Pease.
So you're loving, you've loved him for a long time. He's your guy.
Okay, so a lot of coaches don't like coming on.
I just need a yes or no.
Yes.
He's your guy. You love him.
I love Dean Pease, but I also am willing
Hold
to change
on to
if
this,
he stinks.
Ian. Keep this because I am sure we're going to need it.
If he stinks, I'm willing to change my opinion. Right,
what
now,
do you, what do you
good.
Mean if he stinks?
Well, he's not under the Jared Stillman microscope right now.
Well, there is no Jared Stillman
microscope.
I mean,
microscope. I only watched two Ravens games closely last year.
Well, then how can you say you love a guy if you've only seen him twice?
Because those defenses are nasty, and they play with an attitude, and I
So
like
do
it.
You love him or not?
I love Dean Pease.
Okay, there you go.
By the way, let's offer out an open invitation to Dean Pease to come on our radio show whenever we want. Some coaches are a little nervous about coming on our show. Although none of these current Titans coaches, I think we've gotten that vibe. But just some coaches in general are a little nervous sometimes about coming on our show. And some coaches we don't want to have on our show. But just let Dean know. Floyd, I know you guys are friends. Let Dean know he has an open invitation to the Jared and the GM show whenever he'd like to come on.
We can do that.
Because I'm a Dean. Hey, it should be called the Dean Pease Believer and the GM.
Dean
That's what they
Pease
should call
Believer.
The show.
This is good.
I'm a Dean Pease believer. Corey Curtis, News 2. We'll get his thoughts on Sue. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators. And we'll get his thoughts on everything else. It's Jared the GM right here on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Boy, you know I love telling you all about Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. It goes down so smooth and tastes so great. There is going to be a lot to celebrate this weekend. That's right. Maybe your basketball team is in the championship, or maybe they're not, but you can celebrate with Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. It goes down so smooth and tastes so great. It's ice cold, refreshing Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. It's Jared and the GM on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Corey Curtis, News 2 next, live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. of Mount Juliet. That's where Floyd is. I'm at an undisclosed location. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Did I just hear in that promo, Floyd Reese, on a Fireball Hot Take Friday, did I just hear David Poyle basically guaranteeing, like I would guarantee? It sounded like he was calling it. Pekka going to win the Vezina Trophy.
You know, that's not what was. He said, I think I know who you're voting for.
No. But he said, I think Pekka's going to win his first Vezina Trophy or something like that. And I was only like 80% listening to that promo. But then Ryan said, so I guess I know who your vote is, and he said, you got it. Is that what I heard, Ian?
I think the word hope was in there somewhere.
Then I'm wrong. Speaking of that, sit down with David Poyle tonight, 6 o'clock, Preds Insiders, presented by New Life Regenerative Medicine, right here on ESPN 102.5. The Game. Okay, so again, the latest on Ndamukong Suh is he's at home. This is according to Yahoo Sports. He's at home in Oregon with his family, weighing offers from the three teams he visited, the Titans, the Saints, and the Rams. And now the Jets have come in with the biggest offer yet, and he's added them to the mix. So it is a four-team mix, and Corey Curtis from News 2 joins us on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Corey, what do you make of the idea of Ndamukong Suh with the Titans in his final four? And where do you think they kind of would fit in there for you?
Well, I mean, there's a number of different ways to look at it. I mean, being a West Coast guy, and with as good as the Rams were last year, and having Aaron Donald, you would think that would all be very appealing to him. But if I was going to say which one do I think is closest to the Super Bowl, I'd have to go Drew Brees. But then the Titans can probably offer more money and still have a good chance to be good. Whereas the Jets can just offer money and a chance to beat the Jets. So, I don't know what they're going to do. Nothing would really surprise me, but I guess if I had to bet, I would go with the Rams simply because he canceled his trip to Oakland after visiting the Rams, and he's a West Coast guy.
That is a very solid take that I haven't thought about, so I do like that one. So I just professed my love in the last segment for Dean Pease. I think he's great.
I almost threw up. It was really.
I think he's a those Baltimore teams just they have an edge. They play dirty. They play nasty. They play just
they had
good
Ray
solid
Lewis
defense.
And Ed Reed.
And then when they left, they still played dirty with Eric Weddle and Terrell Suggs.
Okay, yeah. And those guys are Hall of Famers.
And would you not say that Kevin Byard's a good player and that that he's a good player and Butler and Jack and Jackson and Ryan and Sue and Casey? I mean, there's a lot of guys now. I'm starting to sound like Charlie Strong reading off the roster, but I'm telling you, I am a Dean Pease believer. Let's say they sign Sue. What now are your expectations for that Titans defense?
You know, I like Sue, you know, and what he could bring. I don't know if he's that much of a – I know some people think he's a total game changer. You know, if you watch the NFL Network and ESPN, everybody's a Hall of Famer and going to change the world. You know, he's 8 years in. I don't know how dominant he is at this point in his career. There's a reason the Dolphins were willing to take a $26 million cap hit to jettison him, okay? If he was the difference between them being good or not, he would still be there. He's never won a playoff game. And, again, I know there's a lot of things that go into this, but, you know, when you're talking about is he going to come in and be the difference maker, well, he hasn't been to this point in his career, so why would you expect him to be that now? Can he be a force on the defensive line? Yeah. I mean, the guy's a good football player. I don't know. I think Deion Lewis changes more things for me than Ndamukong Suh would.
Corey, we were talking about the Preds last night, and which was, you know, we all agree probably not the best game they've played in about the last 15, 16. But I told Jared, I said, you know what, I think I'm glad this happened. You know, this may be a blessing in disguise. This may be a good thing. What's your take?
Well, I mean, I've heard some people say that, and, you know, yeah. I mean, you know, we all knew they were going to lose again. I mean, I know it felt like they weren't ever going to lose again, but they're going to lose again. They're going to lose games in the postseason. I mean, that's reality. And regardless of whether they played well or they played poorly, Toronto's good, all right? I mean, Toronto's capable of coming in here and beating them. And, you know, is it a good message to keep working? Yeah. Yeah, it is. Do I think, you know, that they weren't ready to play? I mean, you know, I guess you can look at that. But the fact is that they've won 14 out of 15 games. I mean, they were due for kind of a clunker. And you don't have to be that far off to lose to a team like Toronto. You know, do I think, you know, I get what you're saying, but I think this team has its eyes on the big picture. So whether or not they beat or lose to Toronto, I don't think changes in my eye how ready they're going to be for the postseason and how they prepare it and how ready they'll be.
Corey, what about what we've learned that's gone on at UT and their search to bring in a football coach?
Oh, God.
Well, it's text world.
It's just, yeah, you know, to me it's just kicking a dead body at this point. I mean, you know, what did you think you were going to get when you read some of that stuff? I mean, you know, you don't think those are the conversations that go on all the time when all – I mean, that's you know, you're just getting the door opened for you a little bit. That's all. And, again, I still don't have a problem with Greg Schiano as a head coaching candidate. So I wouldn't have been upset with that if I was a UT fan. I think what's astounding is, you know, still the revelations that the board or whoever, the powers that be at UT, were that concerned about the Twitter war and that concerned about, you know, what people were saying on social media instead of just letting their people do their jobs.
I think everything about that thing drives me crazy, and I'm going to get to that here in a second. Corey Curtis, News 2, is our guest here on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. What's your hot take of the week?
You know what? Last night, I just hit my pinnacle. I can't handle it anymore. The NBA has a massive, massive credibility issue.
Yeah, massive. I saw you go Twitter rant on this yesterday.
Yes, they have to get a grip on this tanking issue, because anybody who paid for that Charlotte Memphis game last night deserves to get their money back. Memphis lost by 61 points. They were down by 59 after three quarters. They were fielding what could only be called a D league team. Okay. And this is going on all over the league. You're asking for people to pay ticket prices, season ticket prices, because they're expecting a product, and they are not getting that product, and teams are doing it on purpose. And the NBA, there's a real simple way to cut this out. If you find out a team is tanking, and it's not that hard to figure out, you lose your first-round draft pick. You take away that first-round draft pick if they tank, there's no incentive to tank. Teams have to be held to a higher standard. They have to be held to the ability to try for the entire season. You know, I know we've seen some of this to a degree in some other sports, but nothing is horrifically bad and as embarrassing as what is going on in the NBA right now. Their fans deserve better, because right now what they're getting is a disgrace.
Yeah, I would say that tanking in the NBA, they got to get rid of the super teams and all that, but the NBA is so boring and so predictable.
On so many different levels.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, look, the TV ratings apparently are through the roof right now for the NBA, so who am I to complain about the NBA?
Not for Charlotte and Memphis.
No, probably not. Or, you know, the really bad teams. Corey Curtis News 2, as always. Corey, we appreciate it.
All right, guys, have a great weekend.
Thanks, Corey.
So the records keep coming out on the UT thing, and Corey said it perfectly. I mean, I think I stand with Corey. Greg Schiano was not a bad candidate for the UT search, Floyd. But more stuff comes out about these open records requests or whatever, and I got to talk about UT. Floyd?
Yes.
The UT fans, I think it's fair to say they don't like me very much. And I understand it. Now, I'm only always right about their program every time, but they don't like it. But they need to hear what I'm about to say with what I have ascertained from the open records request into John Curry and everybody else's, I don't know, what should I say, records or phones or whatever it may be.
All the above.
We got to do some UT talking. Next, Jerry and the GM, Fireball Hot Take Friday, ESPN 102.5, The Game.
This morning, I decided to make a change in leadership in our athletics department. It's a decision I feel that was in the best interest of our university. John Curry has been suspended, and Philip Fulmer has agreed to step in as our athletic director. I want you to know John Curry has worked tirelessly in his position, and I greatly respect him for his commitment and his contributions to the University of Tennessee. Several weeks ago, I asked him to lead a search for our next football coach. He was given full authority to find the best coach.
That was Beverly Davenport. Obviously, the day they announced Philip Fulmer and John Curry out. And Floyd, I know everybody's been looking at the text messages and the emails and the direct messages and everything with John Curry that's been released with the open records request as part of the agreement. What is it? $2.5 million John Curry walks away with from the University of Tennessee. It's good work, Floyd, for 8 months if you can get it.
If you can get it.
I mean, that's almost like a player. That's how much money John Curry made. But so it's all coming out, and I'm hearing all these different takes, right, about the Curry thing and, you know, whatever happened with Dave Doran, which I'm still not totally sure what happened there, and the chasing of Dan Mullen, which we now know that there was some mutual back and forth. I mean, it just kind of, what, uncovers the curtain, right, with
right.
These text messages and emails and things like that.
Certainly let you know what they're talking about.
So everybody's kicking John Curry, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least a lot of people are. This one drove me up a wall reading and hearing all these things. Now, Curry is on the list of people that I'm like, wow, when I read some of this stuff. But I'm looking at the University of Tennessee, and I'm wondering, can you people do anything right? Can you guys do anything right at that school? I mean, I give you more credit than Vanderbilt because at least you try. But seriously, can they do anything correctly? I mean, You heard the clip right there where Beverly Davenport said he was given full authority to lead the search. And then he hired the coach that Twitter didn't like, so you then took the full authority away. And now you've got it coming out that Philip Fulmer was telling the president that or through a guy that Philip Fulmer wanted to come back to coach UT. And I got everybody, the president of the school, DiPietro, that guy could walk in right now, do not know him from a jar of Vicks, but he's the one who gives into social media and everything else and changes while you're playing the game. I mean, he can't do anything right. The chancellor obviously cannot do anything right. The athletic director really could have hired like 8 different coaches that would have been good coaches that the fans would have been okay with, and he couldn't do any of that. And then you got Fulmer in the mix, and it just, I mean, again, can they do anything right? Hey, we're going to give you full authority to lead the search, except we're taking that away. And it just, I mean, I don't know if this program, with the shape that their women's basketball is in and the shape that their football is in, I'm not sure that this program is ever going to get back to what it used to until they start changing some serious stuff around there.
Well, I think, as is usually the case, when you see things that are this bad at a lower level, things were really bad at upper level. And I mean, I didn't read all of the things. The few things that I read, I mean, were just unbelievable. Here, this poor AD is out there. I mean, I've gone complete 180 on Curry.
You're in on Curry now. It sounds like you're in on Curry.
Yeah, I was blaming him for every single thing that went on. He had no choice. I mean, they were just letting him float out there. And nobody had enough guts in the upper echelons of the organization to give him direction. He contacts Davenport and says, "Hey, I've got this coach I'm ready to hire." She says, "Fine, I need to get in touch with, who is it, DiPietro or whoever it is."
And he's church.
And he wouldn't respond to the texts. And so, you know, Curry's now, he's calling back. Have you heard anything from him? You know, he wanted to solidify the deal. And Davenport wouldn't, you know, she didn't say, "Yeah, go ahead and do it." And they couldn't get in touch with the other. And so the whole thing falls through. Or it goes out there on Twitter and they get a response from the Twitter world. And now they're the ones that are making the decision. I mean, it, when I read those few texts, I mean, it just was miserable. Made me feel so bad. I mean, for a place like that, it's just unacceptable to have those kinds of things happen.
And again, like you wondered at the time that if Curry was behind Schiano, why would, you know, if you were the athletic director, you said that you would have told him, "Well, either you hire him or I'm out." And the truth is, there's 2.5 million reasons why John Curry didn't do that. And I get it. But, I mean, what kills me, back to your point about the president and the chancellor, and I'm mad at everybody. I'm mad at the fans. The way the fans acted on social media about Schiano and bringing Penn State into the mix, that was totally unacceptable. And you all know it. And it's okay, because you got what you wanted. You didn't get the coach that you thought was a bad coach. But I'm mad at the fans. I'm mad at the president. Because that guy he's got nothing. He has got no stones in this equation whatsoever. And I'm mad at the chancellor for hiring a guy who I still think is in over his head when it comes to hiring major college football coaches or running a major college athletic department. But then you left him out there to dry. And I, you know, the one thing I do get on Curry for, the text with Dan Wolken. Like, Dan Wolken at USA Today is going to single-handedly change how the fans feel about the coach you're about to hire.
Yeah. Well, like, and I don't know, you know, if you're caught in that situation. I mean, you made a mistake by listening to the tweet, the fans, whoever it is, however they communicate, and responding to that. I mean, if you are chancellor at the University of Tennessee, that's a pretty powerful position, isn't it? I mean, doesn't that guy have to be a decision maker and somebody that can give him direction? And, you know, it may not always be the most popular decision, but it's in the best interest of UT, and that's my job, is to do whatever is in the best interest of UT. And you can't do that because you're worried about Twitter? Give me a break. Where are we? What are we doing? You know, I mean, and then, like you said, I mean, Curry's out there floating around. So then he gets to a point where, I heard another thing that he may have more than one of these letter agreements out there, or tried to get them out there. Mm-hmm. And guys either didn't sign them, or, you know, they didn't go through, or he didn't sign them, or whatever. I mean, he was fighting, trying to get all these coaches, and couldn't get any backing from anybody. So, well, I don't know, mess.
And I forget the one that I read, but there was something earlier that was something I read where the agent was like, I need the lawyer, or the coach was, I need the lawyer to look over the MOU because he wasn't going to get Chiano'd. He wasn't going to let it happen.
Yeah.
And so on Curry's end, I mean, I think Curry was in over his head in terms of trying to run an athletic department like UT's. Like, I think he was in over his head, would have never succeeded.
But then you go to, okay, so why'd they hire him? Who hired him? We waited all this time for Davenport and whoever else was going to come along and hire him. Well, if he's not qualified, don't hire him.
And so you have that. Then you have Peyton involved in this somehow, talking to Dan Mullen. And I know for a fact, Peyton talked to Jeff Brohm. Like, Jeff Brom's name doesn't come up in any of this. I will promise you, Peyton talked to Jeff Brohm. What I have been told is that Peyton talked to Jeff Brohm. So you've got Peyton talking to people, you've got Fulmer talking to people, and you've got Fulmer talking to people talking to DiPietro, saying that Fulmer wants to come back and coach. So now Fulmer's kind of in the mix on two areas of it. You've got Davenport involved. You got the fans involved. You got too many cooks in the kitchen. That's not how Nick Saban runs his football program.
Well, you hire.
That is not how successful organizations work.
Yeah, you hire a guy to do a job. And if you hire this AD, it's his job to hire the football coach. Now, it's got to be okay. I understand all that. And he tried to get it okayed, but he couldn't do it. And so, you know, if you're not going to accept his recommendation, this is a guy he wants to hire and you don't, then you need to get a new AD. You need to hire another guy. You obviously don't have confidence in him for whatever reason.
You know, the one thing that killed me in all of this, and this is why, and I kind of blame the John Gruden stuff for this, but I think just based on what I was reading, I think they could have had Dan Mullen. Like, I think if they had offered Dan Mullen enough money day one, like if Peyton had called Dan Mullen and said, hey, $6 million a year or whatever, like offered Dan Mullen big time money on that first phone call, I think they would have had Dan Mullen.
And I think, I heard maybe it was Dan's agent or I don't know who it was, somebody talking about that. And they said that, I think it was a Saturday when all this broke and they had just finished talking, that Dan said, you know, I think I'm going to UT. I mean, I think that's where I'll end up. And then, of course, that never worked out.
And they could have had Leach, who I think people would have liked as coach. They could have had Dave Doran, who I think people would have been okay with as coach. I don't know if they could have had Brohm or not. I assume they probably could have, but they could have had some really good coaches. And everybody had to. They had all these cooks in the kitchen, and everybody had to have their way. And now they ended up with a guy who's never coached a game before. And this goes back to the whole point. You all want to celebrate John Curry being out, and maybe you should. But at the same time, you still have Davenport there. You still have DiPietro there. You still have all these people that really ruined the whole thing to begin with. You still have all those people there. You have a Twitter fan base that is now feels empowered to be able to veto any major decision the school makes. I just don't know if UT's ever going to be good again. I mean, I'm really, really worried about that.
Well, I mean, and until they change. And if they don't change, I agree with you. If they don't change, they're headed downhill. Because you cannot function as an organization when you're run by people that are incompetent or unavailable. You know,
so that's
you need people to be there and to give you direction and give you charge. And if they can't do that, they got to find somebody else.
So that's my big takeaway, and I think we're on the same page with this. Is if UT's going to get good, let's not kid ourselves here. UT deserves to be good. Like, UT puts in the passion, they put in the energy, they play in the conference, they have the fans. Like, the University of Tennessee deserves to be good. But if they're going to be good, they can't have these same decision makers, the ones that hired Curry and fired Curry, they can't have these people involved. Or else you're going to keep ending up in the same situation. So we'll take your calls on that. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Plus some other thoughts on some of the takeaways from the Curry text messages. We'll get to that as well. It's Jared and the GM on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I wanted to talk with John yesterday, but, you know, as I said, I don't want to talk about coaches. I don't want to talk about the process. It's been a long and arduous week. I have talked with Philip Fulmer this morning and asked him to step in, and he agreed to do that, and we're going to look forward.
That was Beverly Davenport when she fired John Curry, basically. Floyd, you did see that Tennessee was trying to get in touch with John Curry while Curry was flying from, I guess, what, North Carolina to Los Angeles to meet with Mike Leach?
Yeah.
So they tried to get in touch with him, and Curry said that the Wi-Fi on the Delta plane was not working, and that was why he couldn't get in touch with them. One, do you believe Curry in that?
Oh, I have no idea. I mean, you know what? He had tried. Now, again, you know, the things that I had read, and they were bits and pieces, was he had been trying to get through Davenport to the chancellor or whatever he is for, I mean, like forever. There's a whole series of texts where he goes, you know, have you talked to him yet? Yeah, during the Schiano thing. So after that, I mean, nobody will talk to him. He doesn't know. I assume he's just going to do his job. It's what I would have done.
Well, and here's the thing, too. Like, I know Vol fans are cool with Jeremy Pruitt now, but I think they would have liked Mike Leach more. And it sounds like you would have had Mike Leach if you had just let the guy do his job.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds to me like there was a chance you could have had a couple other guys. Not that you want him. I mean, I'm not hitting on Pruitt, but, I mean, it sounds like after Schiano, you know, you had at least two guys in there. That and Leach, one of them that you tried to hire and maybe had a shot at hiring.
If Leach was the first candidate, I think the fans would have been cool with it. I think they would have liked it. I think they like Leach.
Maybe.
I think they would have been okay with Leach. And so, I mean, why would you stop him? He's on his way to meet with Leach, and he's texting you and saying, hey, I think I can get Leach. And you're like, no, just come back to Knoxville. We'll talk tomorrow. What?
Yeah.
Go get the coach. You are the nobody gives a rat's tail about Beverly Davenport. They only care about football. They don't care about school. I know that people don't like to hear that, but the fans on Twitter that were upset about Schiano, and there's a lot more of those than there are about people who care about the biology department. Those people don't care, Beverly, about what you want. They want a good coach, and you could have had Leach. Look, again, I'm not advocating for Curry. I think he did a lot of dumb things. The Dan Wolken thing. Like, just rub me the wrong way, because it's like, really, that's the guy that you think is going to calm the entire Tennessee fan base? Is some USA Today writer from Memphis? Like, no. But anywho, it's like, just go get the coach. Go get Leach. Leach wants to come. Go get him. Doran wanted to come, and then you stop texting him for some reason, which I don't know the answer to how the Dave Doran thing worked out. But go get Leach, and everybody's happy, but they seem to have their own way about it. And I stand by what I said earlier. I don't think this gets better. If Davenport and DiPietro stay in power at Tennessee, I don't think it gets any better. To me, I circle more blame to them than I do to Curry. And by the way, Floyd, about Curry, did you see who won last night in basketball to go to the Elite Eight? Kansas State and his coach, Bruce Weber. So his coach is in the Elite Eight. Say what you want about Curry, but your coach couldn't beat Loyola Chicago. And his coach is in the Elite Eight. Let's go back to the phones on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Patton is up next here on Jared and the GM. What's up, Patton?
What's up, guys? Love the show. And, Jared, I'm with you on this one. And just as a neutral in this whole UT thing, it made my stomach sick. Just the whole – I'm scrolling on Twitter, and I'm seeing UT fans standing on their pedestal, on their moral high ground, saying they don't want Greg Schiano just because of this Penn State thing that happened 15 years ago. You're telling me that two college football programs and an NFL program aren't going to do their homework and find that this guy has nothing to do with it. I get it. You don't like your guy, but just tell me that. Don't be standing on your moral high ground. And that's all I got to say. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I mean, that's an argument for like 4 months ago, and I agree with you. But my bigger thing, though, is like if you had just let Curry do his job without all these 18 cooks in the kitchen, he probably would have had Mullen or Leach or Doran, or somebody else who I think the fans would be okay with.
Well, and I was shocked because, generally speaking, when you hire somebody, you let them do their job until something goes wrong. Then maybe you start keeping an eye on him. Then maybe you put him on probation. Then maybe you, you know, double check. But, you know, initially you think I've hired the right guy. I'm going to let him go ahead and do his job. It was like he was on probation from the beginning. You know, they say, oh, yeah, he's got full authority to hire the football coach as long as he has a signature from me, from the financial guy, from the chancellor, from the, you know what? If he's the guy, let him be the guy. So I don't, I was really disappointed in that whole thing.
Well, it's like, it's funny. I mean, anybody who's ever worked a job knows that there's somebody at that job that you work at that does the hiring.
Right.
And whoever does the actual hiring, it could be, you know, like in our business, it's the program director or the general manager or, you know, the president or whatever. But there's one person who ultimately makes that decision. You all told us it was John Curry, then you didn't let John Curry make that decision. Or is the same thing going to happen to Philip Fulmer when it comes time to fire Holly Warlick? I don't know. And I want what's best for UT. I know UT fans don't think that that's true, but I'm being honest with you. But DiPietro and Davenport are just as much, in my mind, you know, to blame for this situation and this mess as Curry was. And if Pruitt fails as a coach, I will blame DiPietro and Davenport more than I will blame Pruitt or more than I will blame Fulmer, because I don't think that they are dealing with a full deck of cards there. I think it's a – is it not fair?
That's fair.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. The Preds last night take a tough one. I shouldn't say tough one because it wasn't that tough. They just got their butts kicked. Preds took a tough one last night, but were the Preds overreacting after the game? The reaction was very strong last night. Were they overreacting? We'll get to that coming up next. It's Jared and the GM on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It is ESPN 102.5 The Game.